pump up the jam, pump it up while your feet are stomping and the jam is pumping. Look ahead, the crowd is jumping. I actually don't know the rest of that.
Miggy, 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 can't you see Jack Grealish eating that tea?
We weren't quite ready with the songs for the Friday show, but I mean, we do good songs on the Monday podcast. On Friday, it's very much the off cuts, the dangly bits, the tidbits, the parts of the show that you probably shouldn't see, but because we're so close personal friends, we show you all of our wares. I'm Tom Rennie. Brian Dunseth is with me. We just come off of our Friday program, Rennie and Dunny Take America on Sirius XM FC, colon Grumpy Pundits. Thoughts on the show, Dunny? Give it a review out of 10. What was your best bit, worst bit?
Yeah, I think we gave ourselves, I would say, the conversation about with Mark Webster. Fantastic.
Wild.
Conversation.
Wild.
Yeah, I mean, the poll of, what was it? We were talking about Overboard, I think. We were talking about L.A. Story. We were all over the place. We were talking about, I thought, a great conversation about Joey Barton. Oh. He of motivational wisdom and written language and word. Was phenomenal. I'd give a self, if I went over to the Apple podcasting site to give a review for Week in the Tackle, which I suggest everybody does, as always, please, thank you, appreciate it. I would give us a solid niner. I'd give us a niner out of tenner.
That's very, very high. Very positive.
Yeah, I felt good about it.
I've never rated anything a nine in my life. Ever.
Surprise, surprise.
Even my favorite film, I'd probably give about 6 out of 10.
Hmm.
Mainly because I just think Kirk looked a bit fat in it.
It's healthy.
Yeah, I suppose. So I've got a couple of bits for you before we introduce tidbits from Grumpy Pundits today. Let's go back to the Joey Barton thing. Now, for those that weren't with us on Grumpy Pundits, this is my favourite story maybe ever. So Joey Barton, poet and thug, is now manager of the football club Bristol Rovers. They played a game against Sheffield Wednesday on Wednesday. Nice. And it finished 1-1. Someone leaked a massive bit of paper, the kind of bits of paper you get in like management, motivational training seminars that you get forced to go to by your work. Someone took a photograph of it and leaked it of the various motivational mantras of Joey Barton, which he just word vomited all over this piece of paper. It's an utterly unreadable piece of paper, but it's also a real window into the mind of someone who probably walks around with a like little book of motivational quotes, like one of those people. Here's just some of the things that are on this incredible piece of paper that Joey Barton thinks is something to motivate his players. 3 points available. Decide to be victorious. Show football courage. Big start. Get plus keep momentum. Win opening gambit. First 5 mins. Next, dot, dot, dot. And so on. You're unique. A one-off. A true superstar. One in, all in. Stick together. Hard and smart work. Talking. Arrow. Encouraging. Arrow. Inspiring. Arrow. Uplifting. Arrow. Psychological effects. 18v18 of us, dot, dot, dot. Their fans can't help. Cage door closed. That's just some of, I literally cannot cover the sheer amount of middle management Michael Scott garbage on this word tank. Danny, your thoughts
You know what I just realized? The 18v18 is 18 of us versus 18 of them. Their fans can't help.
Oh.
The cage door is closed.
Oh, that's all the one thing. Right.
So you're doing it on the field, right? It's their fans. They can be loud, but it's you. It's you, gentlemen. It's you. Here's the other one I like. It's a collection bed of discipline. 11 to 18 men. I thought that one was pretty good.
What's the bit underneath that?
I can't read it. No reaction. No reaction. What is it? Something earned mind games?
Oh, expect mind
expect
games.
Expect mind games. No reactions, Rennie. Don't let them get in your head.
Expect mind games.
Expect mind games. What was the other one? There was another one that I was super good. Oh, goal mouth action. crosses, shots, give and goes, regains high, none in the box, put a load in theirs.
Nope. Today. Today.
Drop a load in theirs in terms of possession.
Joey Barton After Dark. We've gone a bit after dark on the podcast version of this conversation.
Oh,
it's amazing. It is generally, managers do weird stuff, as we all know. They do whatever they can to motivate their players. But this just did seem like someone had been on a middle management seminar for the week. And so we asked our listeners to send in some of their favorite, even motivational quotes, or send us some photographs, which some did, of motivational quotes that are on the wall at their work. We read some on the program, but we've got some more that we didn't have time for. This from Brad I liked. He said, we have this in the office. It's a photograph of a man pushing a rock up a hill, as the Greek myth suggests, which is Tantalus, isn't it? This one, I think. Anyway, persistence. Because if you do the same thing over and over, you'll surely get different results eventually.
I think that was the definition of insanity, wasn't it?
Well, it's if you expect different results. Einstein was wrongly attributed to have said it's insanity to do that. But this actually, in their office, Dunder Mifflin Paper Mill, means you'll get different results as you go. It's quite nice. From Man United, Mike, I could do it, but don't you want the satisfaction of accomplishing something yourself? Does that work?
One of my favorites was dead fish, go with the flow.
Oh, that was good. Dead was good. Fish, go with the... Because I don't know what that means. Does that mean it's encouraging me to be a dead fish or I shouldn't be a dead fish and fight against the stream? Because sometimes it's good advice to go with the flow. So if you're at a party, you don't really like anyone there, but you've only got a couple of hours to get through, don't have a big row. Don't kick off. Don't have your say about like your political beliefs or something. Just be a dead fish.
Yeah. Yeah. Or as some would say, the second mouse gets the cheese because the first mouse is dead because it's got its neck broken when it was caught in the mouse trap.
I didn't get that earlier. So the motivational phrase is what? Be the second mouse.
Cower, sacrifice your friend, and then you'll get to eat.
Is that motivation? What's that motivating you to do?
Stay alive.
Yeah, okay.
No, you go first. Here's the door.
So the lesson from that is be nice, live longer.
There you go.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Be nice, live longer. Very similar to what our Crystal Palace fan in San Diego said to us.
beep.
Remember, guys, you're playing for... Remember, guys, which she says is something that coaches would say to the pubescent male boys on their particular football team. I don't know about that one. I'll be honest with you. I don't know.
Here's Jason on Twitter saying, I want you to run out there, rip their heads off and down their neck. Just don't let the ref see you. Because it'll be a red card.
Why are all these motivational...
Do I say sorry, Tim? Because this isn't me.
Oh, like, yeah, I'm not, sorry.
I'm sorry, Tim. Do I apologize here?
I've got to do at least one sorry, Tim. Sorry, Tim, for the...
I didn't say it. I said it, but I didn't say it.
Yeah. Why are all these motivational things so, like, angry? So there's one here from Brian, which is, men, better get your piss hot. Like, I didn't even know... Does that mean he wants the players to get chlamydia? I don't know. But like, why isn't it more like the more we breathe, the more we achieve?
How about this one? Carpe diem. Seize the carp.
Is that for fishermen? this from Tim. Not that Tim. Another Tim. The coach says to us, don't be last. If you're last, everybody runs again. Wait, doesn't someone have to be last? So you're saying we're running again?
Yeah. Here's one. It's a picture, and it's a guy who's literally digging out of prison, but he's about to dig into an outhouse with a holding tank that is full of and piss. Sorry, Tim. For all who may be having a bad day, and it's showing the guy digging out, he's a prisoner, it can always be worse as he's about to dig into the holding tank of and piss. Sorry, Tim.
This from Fly Broker One. It's hard to soar with the eagles when you fly with the turkeys.
It's pretty good.
Is it? Is that good?
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. How does one eat an elephant?
Yes.
Mike asks.
Yes.
One bite at a time. That's a dad joke. That's a dad joke.
Mike's a regular tweeter. That's a dad joke.
You know what? By the way, can I give you one of my favorite dad jokes? What does a police officer say to his belly button?
Go on.
You're under a vest. It's so good. You're under a vest. That's a top three for me.
Tea addict, and I love the way that they put this. It's my mother, I love her with all my heart, but not always the most sympathetic person, says the horse is dead, get off. what anyway?
Yeah, some good stuff.
Life's an ocean, sail it. That's some of our, and indeed your, motivational quote to back up some of Joey Barton's just ramblings that he put on that piece of paper in the dressing room. Danny, would you like to introduce tidbits?
Quick question. If you were going to play Call of Duty, would you choose Neymar or would you choose Paul Pogba?
It's time for Tidbits on Grumpy Pundits.
Time for some tidbits now on Grumpy Pundits on a Friday. Rennie and Danny take America and Canada. Stories we thought were interesting this week, but not strong enough for a full section of today's programme. I'll start with this one. It's a bit weird, but I thought it was quite interesting and also kind of stupid, showing us how technology can both better our lives and just be part of it inconsequentially too. So this comes from Sky News today. Quote, a robotics company claims to have made the world's fastest shoes, which can make you walk 3 times faster. Which is running, isn't it? Isn't that just running? They've invented running? Known as moonwalkers, they look like futuristic roller skates, but don't require the wearer to balance any more than they would when walking normally. Once they're strapped to your feet, tiny electric motors power 8 wheels, which propel you forward up to 7 miles per hour. Just apparently, these trainers, which the company Shift Robotics are hoping to sell in the millions around the world, were inspired when Junjie Zhang, the founder of the company, was forced off his scooter by a car and decided to walk instead. But whilst walking, thought, God, this is crap, isn't it? This walking's not going to catch on. Who's going to do this? What kind of idiot monkey person is going to do walking like this? Get me a scooter! So he put wheels on his shoes and has basically invented running. The shoes can be fully charged for 90 minutes and have a range of 6.5 miles. He goes on to say they're expected to cost in America $1,399 when they go on sale next year. So for $1,399, folks, you can run. Thoughts?
I mean, they look cool. I think they showed the video that I saw, Rennie. It looked like they were maybe in San Francisco, kind of going uphill. And the dude was walking, and he was taking his strides. And he was cooking. He was going straight up that hill, and he was cooking. I could see. Listen, there's going to be idiots out there that buy them. I mean, remember the hoverboards that caught fire, or every time you fell, you broke your arm or gave yourself a concussion.
They were everywhere.
Yeah. But hoverboards were what, like maybe $200? It was like a Christmas gift.
And they didn't hover as well. It wasn't a hoverboard.
No, they just rolled.
It didn't hover. It was a wheel board.
Did you see when Mike Tyson ate it on the hoverboard? Did you ever see that video where he stepped on? He was at his home in Vegas. Mike Tyson, baddest man on the planet, stepped on it and went whoop, whoop, whoop. Just bam, smash.
No.
Oh, it was amazing. Those things are so unstable. It's like, I love watching the videos of like those old people on the ones with like the hands railings at
the segways,
and they're like rocking, and they're like, oh yeah, Penny, this is fantastic, and they go like over the seawall and drop like 30 feet in the water.
You like to see pensioners die on segways? What kind of bizarre sadist
injure,
are you?
Injure
you're admitting this to the nation.
I'm a fail army guy. Me and my little guy Luca, he's 4.5. We watch all the idiots. He goes, Dad, can we watch the idiots? And so we sit on the couch, we fire up YouTube, and we watch Fail Army. And I've been doing this with all three boys. And you know why it works? My wife's like, why in the world would you put this in their head? And I was like, listen, this is a teaching moment, honey. This is a teaching moment. I'm going to show them is what not to do. When you watch Jackass, don't do this. When you're watching Fail Army, be aware that if you're going to ride your bike down the street and it is a massive hill, that you are going to eat ish and shred yourself up. So they're teaching moments. So yes, I do enjoy a pensioner. I giggle to myself when a pensioner gets super cocky on a Segway and might eat it.
Do you just sit outside retirement homes and throwing marbles on the floor for when the pensioners come out for their exercise?
Does that make me a bad person? Am I a bad person?
Yes, it makes you a terrible, terrible person.
I don't think it's that terrible.
It's not great. It's not great. I'll be honest with you. It's not.
I hold doors for people. I say yes, please, and no thank you.
Well, kick them on the way through.
Come on.
Get your youngest son to film it while you kick the pensioners going into the store. You fire up their trainers on wheels, then force them into a
Fail Army
car
is one of the smartest things ever put together. Like, that is a money bag winner.
Are you not worried that you might be? I mean, you know, if there is such a thing as hell, are you not concerned this might get you there?
I've been teetering for a long time.
My other concern about these trainers
is
that, like, it's not going to help the obesity crisis, is it? That now we're so fat and lazy as a people that when there's a hill, you fire up your trainers. Like, just climb the hill, you fatty. Just get up the hill. Get a bit of hard exercise. Come on. For goodness sake. Just walk. Just walk. It's fine. Walking's great. If you can, enjoy it. Why wouldn't you? I don't know. Maybe there's a more charitable version of this.
I got one. You play video games, right? Anybody play Call of Duty here?
My favorite one is Pensioner Segway, where you shoot pensioners. Off of like mountains.
That's the updated version of Call of Duty.
Yes, it's brilliant.
It's target practice.
It's savage, to be honest.
Well, bringing Call of Duty into a footballing sense, the latest release of Modern Warfare 2, which allegedly is going to bridge the gap between first person shooter games and sports, they got Neymar and Paul Pogba as playable characters in the latest production of the Infinity Ward franchise. Because the leak shots show Neymar rocking a hat, looking very suspicious, hands on kind of his vest. He's got all the tactical gear ready to go. And then Pogba looks exactly like Paul Pogba. that's not nice, Tim Horsey. Then Paul Pogba, you can talk about Neymar. Pogba looks beef. Like he looks big. He looks ready to go.
Oh, so it's unrealistic.
He's healthy, which is
so. Let me guess
how
this goes. It's obvious how this goes. When you're playing multiplayer, you don't want to be Neymar or Pogba, because if it's Pogba, he gets shot first and you can't play anymore. And if it's Neymar, he doesn't get shot but spends the entire game rolling on the ground. Is that basically what happens? Is that the premise?
It seems as though that's a decent subscription. But there's also, ready for this? There's also a lineup that could potentially include Lionel Messi playing a version of Lionel Messi in Call of Duty Modern
Why
Warfare
would I want
well.
This? Like, gamers today...
Crossover, man. You know, crossover.
The thing is with game, I do enjoy a game. I do enjoy playing video games. As Tim knows, I'm trying to get through the most recent Witcher now, and I'm quite enjoying it. I don't have much time for
Great
video
show.
Games, but maybe like
Great
once
show.
A month, I might do a few hours. I just finished recently the second Uncharted game. I quite enjoyed them. They're quite fun little adventure brain teaser games. For kids a bit, but, you know, quite nice, quite relaxing. GTA, when it comes out, I'm going to be taking a week off whatever I'm doing to play the latest GTA. Should it ever... But it's been about 10 years and it's been so long. So I look forward to that sort of thing. But the joy in it for me is not having to deal with the outside world. Like, the best bit about gaming for me, I've always enjoyed, is that I don't have to deal with anyone else or speak to any real people. But now games are always like, oh, you can be interactive with your friends. I don't want to be interactive with a bunch of randos. Like, when I used to have time to play FIFA in the day, which, to be fair, if you are a football commentator and you want to get, like, the vibe of a team you don't really know, I do actually recommend it to young commentators to play. It's quite handy.
It's a good show.
But... I once got beaten. So I have like Wednesdays off, right, in general. That's the day I don't work for the last few years. And so you're playing sort of FIFA, you're in your front room, I play it online against some rando. And the worst thing that happened to me was I was getting beaten by this guy who had his microphone on. Again, don't put your microphone on, I don't care about your life. But he had his microphone on and he was beating me like 7-0. I was West Ham and he was like Lorient or something. And I was getting mullered.
So you're terrible.
And. Yeah. No, I'm actually not bad. I was like level 4 of the 10, so I'm quite good. But there's a lot of people better than me. I'm upper middle, I would say. Anyway, I was getting beaten so bad, but the other player gets like 4 pauses during the game. So he paused it, and I could hear in the background, PL! PL! Le déjeuner! Mon petit déjeuner, monsieur! It was his mum telling him to go for his dinner! He was like 6 years old in France. I'm playing him online. And this little French 8-year old, this little French 8-year old is smashing me to bits whilst telling his mum he's not ready for his dinner. I'm a grown man.
Not anymore. You were.
It was very emasculating, I'll be honest with you. It was very emasculating.
You can't tell. You just can't tell.
And I haven't actually bought FIFA for a few years since because I keep getting beaten by children. So there you go. Do you want another one? Do you want another tidbit?
What we got?
I know you love Wrexham and the story of Reynolds and McElhenney.
I'm only on episode 2. I haven't dug into it yet.
If it was an all or nothing, you'd have seen the whole thing.
I would have
already.
Yeah. I gotta sit through commercials right now.
In your mind,
right,
think of it as all or nothing. That's what you've got to do. Well, this is not about them, though. There's some love. I mean, there's loads of tidbits about them, but I've kind of back away from them a little bit because they get a lot of traction. They don't need us to give them traction. But I did like this story. So there is a political party in England that are the natural party of the rulers called the Tory Party. They're utterly incompetent boobs, but they somehow convince the nation to elect them on a regular basis. And Paul Mullin is a striker for Wrexham. And he had a derogatory slogan written on his boots about the Tories, which is fudge the Tories. Let's put it that way. And there's a chant that goes round a lot when you go out amongst like people who wouldn't vote for them, the good people. And it's da-da-da-da, fudge the Tories. And the great Sam Fender, an indie artist, does this before one of his songs at concerts. But Paul Mullin is not being allowed to have this X-rated slogan on his boots. A Wrexham statement reads, quote, the club can... They're Welsh, actually. Should I do Welsh? No, I don't. The club can confirm the boots revealed by Paul Mullin on social media will not be worn tonight or in any other Wrexham AFC fixture, and that the photographs taken at the racecourse ground were done so without our knowledge or approval. For the record, the pictures would not have been permitted to be taken had we known, and the issue will be dealt with privately by the club. The club has a neutral position on many matters with the political dimension and intends to continue to do so going forward. My question to you is, should Paul Mullin be allowed to wear boots that say fudge the Tories, considering the epic damage they've done to the nation, or should we remain politically neutral with football boots?
Yeah, I got no skin in the game because I'm an American. I am watching your finances crumble and have an effect on the world like everybody else. But I can't wait to pop over and call a game with you this winter because the dollar right now, looking specta. Looking specta.
Should players be allowed to have a political message on their boots? Keep politics out of football?
Yeah, it's the fine line, right? It's the fine line because you want these athletes to be leaders. You want them to be role models. You want them to have a positive effect on the community. And yet at the same time, we've constantly been told, shut up and shoot, shut up and dribble, shut up and just play.
Yeah.
This is the escapism for a lot of fans, right? We've seen football matches pause wars, tournaments pause wars. So there is a very gray area. I, for one, am of the belief that athletes should use their ability to push for positive change and positive direction and speak up for those that they believe in. But the problem then we delve into is that doesn't always align with people's political beliefs. And right now, when we're in this massive tug of war of who's right, who's wrong, who to believe, who not to believe, there is no gray area. There is no gray area. You are either for or against, and there is no room for any type of medium for a conversation, nor an apology. Nor you can't apologize anymore for mistakes that have been made. So, yeah, for something like this, I think everybody knows at the end of the day, is it a malicious intent or is it a genuine intent to try to spread a message? And I think something like this, you can tell what the intent was. So I'm not surprised.
Being right.
Yeah, the intent was to be malicious, whether right or wrong. Yes. You know what the intent was. So, yeah, I think it's a really big gray area, and I think it's one of the most difficult things to police right now for those in charge to say what you will allow or what you will not allow.
Do you want another one? Do you have one?
No, I got one. Erling Go Haaland's on. Cousin. Have you ever heard about Erling Haaland's cousin? I mean,
Debbie,
Albert. Have you ever heard about Albert? Albert.
Tell me about Albert.
Albert Braut Haaland, who is a football player at 17 years of age. He's 3 years younger than his cousin Erling Haaland. Erling Haaland, 98 goals in 146 games as of a couple of weeks ago. His cousin, who plays for Brann up in Norway, 17 years old, 64 goals, 37 matches. 64 goals, 37
what?
Matches. Yeah, it is a factual statement. His name is Albert Braut Haaland, and right
this
now
this cannot be true. How could I have never heard of this before?
This link.
Have you been catfished here?
Well, probably. And this is the point where we talk about how big of an idiot Brian Dunseth is. As I'm sending it to you right now, so you can see the tweet. Yes, he plays for Brann, and he. Looks like an attacking midfielder striker, built like a tank, not as big as Erling Haaland himself, but nonetheless is dropping dimes left and right up in Haaland. So we've got a namesake of Erling Braut Haaland, Albert Braut Haaland, the cousin of Erling Haaland, and looks to be quite a player at just 17 years of age.
Are you going to be gutted when he turns down Man United? Just gutted.
Well, now that Ole's gone, I mean, why would you show him anyways? So.
Even he couldn't do it. He was bad manager. We'll keep our eyes peeled for the latest Haaland and that incredible striking bloodline. I love this story, mainly because of the name of the protagonist. Dick Knight has handed himself a 10-match ban
himself
after a furious turnstile row when he couldn't get into Brentford Stadium. Dick Knight is a big Brighton fan. And he tried to get into the Brentford game recently, but his ticket did not work. They're doing these kind of virtual tickets now. It's really difficult to get in, especially if you're a slightly older gentleman.
You got to do your
phone,
right?
And he's standing at the reception.
Yeah.
It's your phone, but it's not like a scan of the barcode. It's almost like an RFID, like when you pay for something on your phone now. So if you can't do that, and sometimes it doesn't work or whatever, it's a whole palaver now getting into games. It has caused ticketing problems at West Ham games I've been to, a Southampton game. Had issues with it as well recently. Anyway. The guy was filmed. Now, he's got Brighton coat on, a Brighton club coat from some years ago, a Brighton hat. He's a gentleman of, I'd say, 70s-ish, maybe a touch older. And he's there, a couple of drinks, and he's saying, "Let me in! Let me in! Do you know who I am? I'm Dick Knight! I'm Dick Knight! I'm the president of this club." And it turns out, yeah, that's Dick Knight. The president of Brighton and Hove Albion, the honorary life president, Dick Knight, who saved them from administration many, many years ago, and was a key player in finding the new owners and saving them financially for years on end. But Dick Knight had a couple of beers, couldn't get into the Brentford game, kicked off massively, did a do you know who I am thing. Also, with his name being Dick Knight, that makes it significantly funnier when you watch him say, I'm Dick Knight, trying to get in. A few Brighton fans filmed it and backed up Dick's story. And Dick then took to the Brighton website to say, quote, I was initially unable to gain entry to the stadium due to a glitch with my ticket's barcode, which meant the stadium access system failed to recognise my ticket. Mm-hmm. In frustration, I behaved in a way that was unbecoming of the club's president. Regrettably, some aspects of my conduct on that evening were captured on video and circulated on social media, causing Brighton Hove Albion, its staff, and me considerable upset and embarrassment. In line with the club's zero-tolerance policy for any kind of abusive behaviour, I've therefore accepted I should step aside from my role as honorary life president, .. for the next 10 matches. I will not be attending any games or representing the club in any capacity in this period, so basically... he got a bit abusive to staff when he couldn't get into the Brentford game and has decided not to give in his honorary title.
No.
But to
no,
just take a few weeks. Just take a few weeks off.
Yeah. Yeah. 10-game ban. That's a lot more than Jurgen Klopp got for the 30 grand that he had to drop.
Yeah.
Dick Knight and Daylight. That's what happens, man. You let him loose. This is what happens. He gets a bit of, gets a bit verbally abusive when you can't let him in. This is a, I mean, we all know that, though, right? There's everyone's kind of been in that situation where they feel as though you've got hot, saw some blood red, red mist.
A good night turns to a dick night. We've all been there.
Yeah, and you've made a bad decision that comes back to haunt you. And today's world, we know with being oh, look at Dick. What's Dick doing? Dick's being a dick over there. And just losing it. And that's obviously what happened for him. But honorary president for 10 games. I like the .. It's like the Wagathy Christie.
Yes. It was. Dick Knight.
Dick Knight.
It was Dick Knight. Oh, okay, that's that one. Got anyone, anything else?
Yeah,
all done?
No, we're good. We got to get
him. Do you want one more for me before Tim? I do one more. I quite like this one. So in the FA Vars... there was a first round tie recently between Fisher FC and AFC Stoneham. And the game was won by Fisher after it went to penalties and Fisher won 5-3. But Stoneham, during the game, had a player put into the sin bin. So they're trialling the sin bin at lower levels of football to see if it works, if it's a good idea. Well, when the player was put in the sin bin late in the game, when it gets to penalties, he is then released from the sin bin. But the referee did not release the player from the sin bin. And therefore wasn't allowed to take a penalty in the shootout, which Stoneham went on to lose 5-3. And so Stoneham, understandably, lodged a protest to the Football Association. And
are they going
to
do the appeal?
FA have acquiesced, and the game's going to be replayed. Full game replay.
Full game, not just penalties. Full game
replay? Not just penalties. Full game replay. And in an added twist to this, it means that Fisher have had to cancel their annual community day.
Man, talk about a trickle-down effect by referees. Unknowingly misinterpreting what the new law of the trial sin bin should have been. I would have thought that he just would have set up penalties again. Like, it makes sense just to do the pens again as opposed to play the entire match again. And then you ruin the community day? How dare you?
It was meant to be on November the... Oh, it doesn't matter. Why am I trying to get accuracy? November something. But they can't do it now because that's when the game is going to be replayed. So the annual community day, where it's like a village fete for the locals, can't happen now because that's when they've had to move, I think, the game against Sutton United. So it's caused a fixture pile-up, is what I'm telling you. Because of the FA Vars first round trophy controversy. I thought it was quite nice.
I like the idea though. I'm here for the idea of testing at the lower levels some things that make total sense. And I think the sin bin.
Yes.
We've seen it used in a really positive manner. But to play the entire game again?
I know.
It doesn't make sense.
I know. The FA Vars is a hardcore, hardcore tournament. Anyway, here's Tim's tidbit.
It's tidbits. One final one. Here is Tim.
I'm actually just going to throw this right back at Dunny, because we saw this a couple weeks ago on Dunny's social media, but we haven't brought it up on tidbits yet. Dunny, you got panini'd.
Oh, I did get panini'd. Yeah.
Tell us about it.
I don't know. I don't know what happened. I got a package. I got a package the other day. I get random packages every once in a while from I don't get a lot of stuff, like not like
where
Jason
do you work?
Davis.
The CIA.
Not like Jason Davis, where I get like free jerseys and T-shirts and sweatshirts all over the place. I get random packages, and I opened it up, and I wasn't even sure. Like, this is how, like, I got a panini. Like, I opened it up. It was from Panini. But I was in the midst of kind of running around and, like, with my kids and running to practice and stuff. So I opened it up, and I actually, like, I checked it out, and I was like, oh, that's cool, whatever. And it had a pack. And I was like, oh, I'll show the kids later. But I had just come from, like, the soccer store, buy my kids some cleats because I want to support local and go in and keep the kind of soccer culture, the brick and mortar still around. And the Panini packs were being sold for, like, $3 per pack. And I was like, my God, they're making a killing on this. And my son was like, well, like, can we do the Panini packs? And I was like, well, let me see if, like, on Amazon there's, like, a big package that you can buy as opposed to buying the individual packs. And so I finally get home, and I actually went all the way out to Bristol. And when I came back for ESPN, I was like, you know what? I should probably open this, because I saw somewhere that somebody had been, like, panini'd. And I was like, no chance they panini'd me. I open it up, and, like, right behind Declan Rice, Tom Rennie, was my picture on a panini, and I got panini'd. And I'm actually can see it. It's right over here. Hold on.
So are you actually a collectible the nation can get?
Let me grab it. You keep talking for a second. Let me grab it.
So the thing I'm confused about here is this, like, is someone at Panini made Brian Dunseth one as a gift? Like, I've got, you know, people get sent, like, their FIFA cards and stuff. So I've got, like, a Tom Rennie FIFA card that someone made me at some FIFA event, which is, like, Tom Rennie is, like, the best defender in the world. Is this official, or is it, like, a secret gift?
I'll show you. I don't know.
So can our listeners in the Panini World Cup sticker book, can they all get a Brian Dunseth?
Qatar 2022. I doubt it. I doubt it. But
is there a gap for you? Is there a gap for you in the magazine, in the sticker book?
I haven't even got there. I just opened it, and I was like,
oh, my
God. What
do you mean you haven't got there?
I haven't looked through it to see if, like, there is a space for me.
So you don't know if it's a personal gift to you because you're a celebrity, or whether it actually goes in the sticker book.
Here, I'll show you. I know this isn't – I'll show – because we're obviously on air.
It's really going to work on this radio medium.
Yeah, no, so I'm showing it to you. So, like, I'm in my suit and a tie, and it says – Brian Dunseth, it says Sirius XM on it. So they're obviously, it's a gift from, there you can see Sirius XM.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I've got Declan Rice. Let's see who else I got in here. I've got an Australia tag. I have, who else? Oh, Ilkay Gundogan. I got Kanakistan, Canada in here as well. But as I was going through, there's not like a place in the sticker book itself that says like, place Brian Dunseth, Sirius XM.
So why did
here.
You get? Do you not know why you got this? Then you've got no idea why you got it.
I've got a letter that says
because this could
Dunseth.
Be like from your stalker or something. Like there's like someone could be like attacking. You don't even know. This could be the first message.
Yeah. No. I got the official paper that has Panini on it, and it says my name at the top of it, and it says enjoy from Jason Horwath. Panini America Vice President of Marketing.
Didn't even learn how to say his name.
Thank you, Jason.
What an unappreciative goit. Unbelievable. Week in the Tackle is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give us a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcasts. Want more Grumpy Pundits? Listen weekdays from 9 to noon Eastern on SiriusXM FC, Channel 157, and on the SXM app.